So I'm glad to have you all here today. School is back in session. The AC is installed in elementary school. Birds are singing. Squirrels are playing. Life is good. Life is good. And hopefully everyone is back from vacations and family functions. We can have a strong fall around here. That's my hope. This morning, we are continuing our series called Courageous Promises. We have the rest of this month, then a series in the month of September, and we will be all done with the book of Joshua. We went through the book of Joshua this year. So we went from start to finish, and I've been blessed by this book, and I hope you have too. We've talked about for the whole series, throughout the book of Joshua. We can even say it is the one central theme in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. So here it is. God keeps His promises. Absolutely. We have a promise-keeping God. Always. So this morning, we're going to look at this one idea. That God kept His promises to Joshua, and He keeps His promises to us today. That's what we're looking at today. Our text this morning is from Joshua chapter 21. It is a summation of the entire book of Joshua. If you have a Bible, you can turn with me, or it'll be on the screen. Joshua 21, 43 to 45. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land He had sworn to give their ancestors. And they took possession of it and settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as He has solemnly promised their ancestors. None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything He had spoken came true. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, but here's a reminder. Joshua was the Old Testament Jesus, right? They even had the same name, right? Joshua and Jesus are the same name. They're both Yeshua. It's the same name. There's not an accident. Joshua was a physical man who led God's people into a physical land. Jesus was a spiritual God-man leading us into a spiritual land. So the first thing I want us to see is this. The first thing is that God kept His promises to Joshua and the nation of Israel. God promised the people of Israel three things according to the book of Joshua. Those three things were land, they were presence, like not presence, but presence, and rest. God told the people that if they would trust Him, if they would place their faith in Him, that they would only worship Him, that they would be given a life that was unbelievable. And here's what is even crazier. God kept His promises to His people even though they did not keep up their end of the deal. I was going to meet some friends at dinner yesterday at Hotel Nauvoo. And So Heather and I get in the car. We've been to Hotel Nauvoo once, I think. So Heather and I get in the car, and it's at 4:20. All right, we're going to be there early. Reservations were at 6. We're going to be there super early, right? So we go. I punch it into Google, the Google Maps, you know, and we go, right? And we're just following along where Google told us to go, and we're like, this doesn't look right. Like this, I don't remember any of this. And it's like, we're about half a mile from where the Google says the destination is, and I see a water tower. I'm like, that looks like the water tower in Stronghurst. Lo and behold, we were in Stronghurst, right? So I'm like, oh no. I'm like, how long is it to Nauvoo? And Heather's like, 40 minutes. I'm like, oh, awesome. We got there with 4 minutes to spare, and everybody was waiting for us, so that was nice. But I say that because if you look at verse 43, right? You look at verse 43. It says, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had, I want you to get this part, sworn to their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The reason why that sworn to their to give their ancestor part is in there is because so many times God's people were not faithful. They served other gods. They served the one God that sometimes we all serve instead of the one true God. And that's the God of self, right? How many times do you or I get derailed for the plan that God has for us because we chose to serve the God of ourselves rather than the one true God? How many times does that happen? Luckily for us, luckily for the people of Israel, like we have talked about last week, that this is where mercy comes in. And so God had mercy on these people, right? He had mercy on the nation of Israel. It just, they were following Google and God made them wander around for a while. They ended up in Stronghurst and then finally they made their way to Hotel Nauvoo, right? So God keeps and kept his promises to Joshua and the nation of Israel. The first part of that is the land. Joshua 1, 2 through 4 says, now then you are, and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised to Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from your the great river, Euphrates, all the Hittite country and to the Meridian Sea, Mediterranean Sea. Goodness, I can't read today. Mediterranean Sea in the west. So in Old Testament times, here's the deal. In Old Testament times, land was everything. All right? Land was everything. To God's people, land was everything. Land was promised. Land allowed for God's chosen race to be together, to keep the others out, to keep their gods and influence at bay by shutting them out. Land was everything. Land was where they could build the temple, which is where God would live, right? The temple is where they could worship and they could teach and learn and make sacrifices. Land was everything. God promised a land to them, and when they had it, they would finally have arrived. God wasn't going to just give them this land, though. They had to possess it. They had to grab it. They had to take it, which meant they had to do some hard work. I want you to notice, who did most of the hard work? It wasn't the people. God did. God did the heavy lifting. And God expects for us to labor today while he does most of the heavy lifting as well. The second thing for the Israelites was presence. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And throughout the book of Joshua, God was with him. And he was with his people. God directed them in battle. He answered their prayers. He gave them wisdom. He gave them victory over enemies. And after he had given them the land, eventually the people built a temple. And that temple contained the Holy of Holies, which is where God lived. And this Holy of Holies meant that God was living amongst his people. And if you were Jewish, then once a year, you went to the temple and made atonement to God by giving a sacrifice there in his presence. And when the temple was running right and God's people were living in their promised land, then all was right with God and his people. Do you know that that is all the people of Israel were looking forward to? That was it. They were looking forward to the land. They were looking forward to the temple. There wasn't talk of heaven or going to be with God when you died. There wasn't talk of that. No, the here and now was what life was all about. Living in the presence of God with God was the only reward needed. That was it. Heaven to them was getting to live their lives with God in their land. That was it. That was what they were looking forward to. And the last thing was rest. Joshua 21:44 says, "And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had solemnly promised their ancestors. None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped conquer all of their enemies." At this point of Joshua, we see that the promised land was set and the hard work was done. And now, after years of war and struggle and wandering, God gave them rest. God knew rest, didn't he? He declared one day of week to be a day of rest. He rested on the seventh day, right? And when he gave the law, he insisted it. It was number three. The number three law was what? Honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. It's a day of rest. God wants rest for his people. That's good news for us, because lots of times we run around like crazy. And we just need rest. So go home today. Take a nap. Get some rest. So the second idea is this, that God will keep his promises to us. So today, God offers us the same things. They look different. They do. But God has really promised us the same things that he did back then. You know, the covenant back then, the whole covenant that Abram and the people of Joshua were living under, right? The whole covenant was about the land and how Abram was going to become Abraham and that God was going to make a whole nation out of his descendants, right? That was the covenant. And then Jesus came along and said, "Well, now I give you a new covenant," right? And the new covenant is not saying that the old covenant is bad, but the new covenant is the one that is in me. I am the new covenant, right? So the old covenant was the land, and the new covenant was Jesus. So for us, when under the new covenant, God will keep his promises to us and that he will give us a land. But that land is not a land. It's not a physical land. That land, metaphorically, is Jesus. Jesus is our promised land. John 15, 1 through 4. Listen to this. "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the messages I have given you." Now listen to this. Here it is. "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." I love some of the other translations of this verse 4. Some of the other ones say, "Abide in me," right? Abide in me. Remain in me. Abide in me. Here, that is the Greek word meno, and it means to live in, to stay eternally, to last forever in. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying, you last forever in me. He's the promised land. Jesus. God is promising us a land, and that land is Jesus. John 15, 14 to 15 says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me." Isn't that great news? Isn't it? Not only do we metaphorically get to receive the promised land of Jesus, but he is saying that we are now his friends. We get to be friends with God. We get to be friends. And he doesn't just want to be our Lord, but he wants a relationship with us. He wants to be friendly with us. He wants you to talk to him as if you were talking to your best friend. That makes sense? God wants more than just sitting in a pew on Sunday. God wants you to spend time with Him as you would a friend. The second thing is presence. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said," here it is, "never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And Matthew 28:20 says, "And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, always to the very end of the age." So not only do we get to receive Jesus, He also promises that He will never leave us, no matter what. We can be a total idiot, which I am really guilty of a lot, and He's not going anywhere. So my friends Kelly and Ed are here this morning. There's people here you probably don't know now, but usually there's not, but they're over there. They were at my church, the church that when I worked at Springfield, I was at a church there for 5 years, and they were some of my biggest supporters. And their son, and when I first got there, their son was an incoming freshman of high school to high school, and he and I developed a really close relationship, and he would just come hang out with me all the time, and Kelly never knew where he was, but he would just say, "Oh, I'm with Sobek," and okay, sounds good. Just don't light anything on fire, right? And so, I remember one of the first times I met these guys, and Eric was, he was a wrestler, and he had to go to the emergency, or not, he had to spend some time in the hospital because he had a staph infection, and because that's what wrestlers do. Gross. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. And so I remember I announced to people that I had gotten engaged to Heather 5 years later, right? And Kelly grabbed me after church, and she said, "Are you leaving?" And I said, I don't know. We're still deciding. She goes, "You're leaving, aren't you?" And a few months later, I left. And I moved to New York. And despite the fact that she was not happy with me for leaving, she was excited that I was getting married and supportive. And when Elijah and I and Heather were in the NICU for 4 months, Kelly was one of those people that we would call, and we'd say, "Can you take our daughter? We need help." And Kelly was like, "Yeah, I'll take off work." So like, even though she was upset with me, and even though she didn't want me to go, man, that friendship was strong, and that relationship was strong. And that's the type of relationship that mirrors a relationship that you only see from God. It really is. God is the only one who is faithful like that. And the only reason why Kelly could be faithful like that was because of her love of Jesus. And the only reason why selfishly she didn't want me to go, you know, for herself, she didn't, that's not selfish. So she didn't want me to go, but her ability to put that aside and say, "Sobek, I'm thrilled for you. I want the best for you." That's the kind of presence that we get in Jesus. The last one is rest. Matthew 12:11-28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest." David wrote in the Psalms, "To be still and know I am God." The people of God should interpret the command for themselves to be read more like, "Snap out of it. Wake up. Stop fearing." Acknowledge who your God is. Be in awe. Stop spinning your wheels. Stop trying to do it on your own. Know that even while you are asleep, God is at work. Stop trying to control everything. Stop trying to be your own master and commander. You rest and let God do the work. That's his message to us today. Let God work. And you just hold on and go along for the ride. John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know, of course, these aren't only God's only promises, right? There's peace, there's joy, fulfillment, acceptance, there's help, many, many more. God is a God of promises, and he keeps every one of them. But what if we really just believed these three, right? What if we really just believed these three promises? That God wants to give us Jesus, and that he wants to have his presence with us always, and that he wants to do the work and let us rest so that we can rest up and do the work some more. What if we just believed those three things? Do you think your life would be better? Do you think your life would have more contentment? Do you think your life might be a little easier? I do. Because it's all life is always, always, always better when I get out of the way and I let God lead.